This message was recorded at Vision Baptist Church in Alpharetta, Georgia. This is the fourth message of our series on the book of John, entitled, Jesus is God.
Take your Bible, if you would, and turn with me to the book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1, if you would, and we're going to begin reading in verse 38. I'm going to read all the way down to verse 51. And I'm not sure if they got you the printer messed up, so you may not have an outline, but you can follow along, I think, well enough. Verse 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak, followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah. Which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was at Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of God. If you have your Bible, take an ink pen and mark this, Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the Son of God. That's the result of two guys doing some witnessing. They tell some people about Jesus. Three guys, actually, John and then Andrew and then Philip, all go tell somebody about Jesus. And don't forget, the Apostle John's got in mind, before I get through, every one of y'all are going to know that Jesus is God, and you can trust him, and you can believe in him, and you can have salvation. And so they end up saying, Thou art God. Look, if you would, in chapter 1, in verse 38, maybe you'll write this down if you would. Number one, they came seeking. They came seeking. In verse 38, then Jesus turned and saw them and following, and he said, What are y'all looking for? What are you seeking? And they said, Rabbi, which being interpreted as Master, where dwellest thou? Here's what happens. You know that just one verse before, the John the Baptist is with the guys, and he sees Jesus coming, and he points him out to the whole crowd, if you recall, and he said, Behold the Lamb of God. Then he turned to two of his disciples who were standing right there, and he said, Hey guys, that's him. That's him. Behold the Lamb of God. And so those guys are decided, Man, we want to know Jesus. Now here's some things about witnessing, and here's some things about us getting the gospel to people. These guys were hungry to know him. Look in verse 39. Verse 39, he said, he said unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. They come and they basically ask for an appointment. They get through and they walk up to him and say, Hey, where do you live, Jesus? Where are you staying? What hotel are you in? When can we come see you? And Jesus just looks at him and says, Well, come on, boys. Come and see. Let me show you the truth. Let me talk to you about the Lord God. I'm looking for you, what, in verse 41. When Andrew goes to talk to Peter and bring him back, notice what he said. He first finds his own brother Simon, and he said to him, We have found the Messiah, Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Do you understand? There's a whole lot of things that we don't have time to go into, but you can think through yourself. How in the world would two brothers know about the Messiah? How in the world would that be a topic of conversation? Why in the world would one brother run to the other brother and say, Hey, brother, come on. You remember we've been talking about the Messiah. We found him. Come and see him. We found the Messiah. Now, you know, amongst us, maybe if somebody came and they knew you were looking for a car and they said, come on, I know you're looking for a car. Or maybe I know you want to go hunting. Or maybe I know you want to get, buy a certain stock. Come and see. But these guys, they were talking about spiritual things. They knew the term. It was nothing new to them. Look what Nathanael does in verse 45. Same deal. Some people were looking for Jesus. In verse 45, Philip finds Nathanael and says to him, we found him. We found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. All he does is go to him and say, hey, we found him. Now I'll stop here just for us. Application for you to take home. You know what? Their conversations were obviously about spiritual things. They were discussing the Messiah. They were discussing what God was doing. They were talking about the prophets and Moses. They were talking about the Bible. And I would question how many people in the world don't know about Jesus and aren't hungry for Jesus because he's relatively few times found on our lips. How many of them would say, I would maybe be interested in spiritual things, but the folks that go to church don't ever talk about him. I don't ever see them excited about what the Word of God says. I don't ever hear them excited about what's going on in church. I don't ever hear, you're more excited about who's going to get elected president or who's in the Republican debate or whatever's going on, but Jesus isn't a part of it. This is a soul-winning story. This is John the Baptist sending some guys to Jesus. This is Andrew going and getting his brother Peter. This is Philip going and getting Nathanael. But there's one interesting theme that's running all through it all, and that is somebody was seeking and somebody was talking, and they could say, come and see. Second thing is found here. Go with me if you would down to verse 41. Meeting Jesus caused them to want to share their faith. Every one of them, as soon as they meet Jesus, they want to go talk about their faith. Look in verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus beheld him and said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now, real quick, look at the verse with me and notice what happens. I have no idea how it would be for you. Maybe it would have been Steve Jobs and you could have had an opportunity to have a private meeting with the great Apple genius. Or maybe it would be the president or the governor or some ball player. But I want you to see what happens when Andrew gets that chance. Andrew and his buddy run up and they say, hey, Jesus, where do you live? Hey, Jesus, where do you live? We'd like to come see you. And Jesus said, well, come and see. And Andrew says, time out. Time out. Man, I'm excited about seeing you, but I got somebody I got to bring. And he says, hold on, I'll be back. And off he goes running like a wild man. He says, got to come, Peter. I got an appointment. Let's go now. And I can just about see him. Peter's probably somewhere else in the crowd. He's probably over on the other side. Peter wasn't smart enough to run up to Jesus and get the appointment, but Andrew did. And Andrew said, come on, let me go show him to you. By the way, Andrew is nobody special. I think that's probably a big lesson for all of us to learn. In the whole scheme of things, Andrew's never going to be very famous. Andrew loves his brother. Andrew's excited about finding Jesus. But do you know that Andrew doesn't write a book of the Bible? Andrew doesn't preach any message that's mentioned in the Bible. His name's only found 12 times in the Bible, and 6 of those times he's mentioned as Peter's brother. Andrew simply brought his brother to Jesus. But he had to risk some things. And every time we witness, we're going to risk some things. He had to go and look for him. He had to say, wait a minute, this is my opportunity. Fact is, I can see two brothers, and one of them saying, I'm not going to go get my brother, but when I get home, I'm going to let him know I'm the man. I had a meeting with the man. I had a private meeting with him. I got his autograph here. I got an appointment with him. I did this. I did that. That's not what happens here. Andrew says, I'm going to deny myself to get the message to somebody else. That's an interesting thing. The second thing, he's got to run up to his brother, and I get the feeling from Andrew and Peter, I get the feeling that Peter's the more outspoken one of the two because he's always the one running his mouth. He's the one that's always out in front. He's probably the most opinionated of the two because, I mean, we do get his opinions all through the Bible. And Andrew runs up to him and says, Peter, I found him. I can just see Peter, maybe big brother, maybe know-it-all brother, looking at him saying, look, kid, you didn't find him. But Andrew said, I don't care what my brother says. I got to get him. and I got to bring him back. You got family members that might would get saved. You got people that might would accept Jesus Christ, but you're intimidated and afraid to go and talk to them. You're going to have to risk making big, bold statements to them. Sometimes we have to have an attitude that says, I'm going to tell them even if they laugh. Sometimes we have to realize even if we're not the big shot, we can bring the big shot to Jesus. Same thing happens in verse 44, if you would. Look in verse 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael and says, we found him. We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. He's the son of Joseph. Verse 46, come and see. Philip meets Jesus, does the same thing Andrew does. He's gone. He finds Jesus. He says, man, glad to meet you, Jesus. I'll be back. I got a buddy, and I got to bring him to meet you. It appears again that Nathanael and Philip have been studying things about God. Now, you know there's a chance. I don't know when God wants to do it, but I am certain that God wants to do something big with our lives. I'm certain he wants to bring revival in our midst. I'm certain that God wants to let us see our family members get saved. I'm certain that God wants to do some big stuff. But since we're not seeing that big stuff happen right now, we tend to say, well, if God were moving, if it was exciting, if we were meeting Jesus, we'd talk about him too. Well, let me just give you a hint. There wasn't much exciting going on here until then, but before they met Jesus, they were already talking about him. And could I say to you, when you see all these missionaries stand up and they talk about another side of the world, no matter how exciting it sounds to you, when they stand behind this pulpit and talk, it is not exciting on the other side when you're all by yourself. It's pretty scary. It is like, I hope they'll listen. It is, I will be bold. I will take a risk. I will stand up and I will tell them about Jesus. He takes off to find Nathanael and he brings him back. And both Andrew and Philip go on purpose with a purpose to bring somebody back to Jesus. Notice they both say the same. Philip says the exact same thing he heard Jesus say. I'm not sure Philip was smart enough to come up with it. I know none of us are. But Philip says, come and see. Third thing, and I finish. Third thing, write this one down if you would. It was Jesus who did the work. It was Jesus who did the work. Look at verse 39 if you would. He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. I get the feeling Peter must not have been too far off. Maybe he was still there with all the crowd. Maybe Jesus just got through speaking. Maybe they were camped out in a campsite. I'm not sure what happens, but he goes and gets him. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and Jesus, because it's about the 10th hour, and that's 4 o'clock. First hour is 6 o'clock in the morning. 12th hour would have been 6 o'clock at night. 10th hour would have been 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They're not going to run home. I don't know where they are, but he runs and gets his brother, and they seem to spend the evening talking to Jesus. You know what? If you're going to win people to Christ, it's probably not going to be because you buttonhole them and give them a 30-second, a 10-minute, or 15-minute real quick shot on how to get saved. It's going to be you love Jesus. You're talking about Jesus, and you're sharing Jesus, and they're seeing you're passionate about Jesus, and as you share the Bible, God does something. But isn't it funny? Look in the story. They bring them to Jesus, and look what happens in verse 42. Verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Jesus meets him, changes his future, changes his destiny, changes his character, sets down a direction he's supposed to take in his life. He changes it from a small pebble to a big rock, a strong person for the Lord Jesus. It was Jesus that showed Nathanael who he was. Look at verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. And Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Whence thou knowest me? How do you know I'm such a good guy? Appreciate you saying that, but how do you know me? How do you know I'm not a trickster? How do you know I'm not a cheat? How do you know I'm not a liar? Jesus said, hey, before Philip ever called on you while you were sitting under the fig tree, I saw you sitting there. And Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. That's obvious. There is something super special about him. Jesus knew him as a guy with no guile, no deceit, no trickery. He saw him under a fig tree. To Nathanael, it was obvious, man, this must be God. How could he know me without knowing me unless he is God? It is your job to share your faith boldly. It is your job to share your faith. We ought to, and maybe you could write down just a few words real quick, boldly. We ought to share our faith boldly. Don't be afraid of their unbelief. You say, well, I don't want to make them want to go to hell because I mess up. They're already going to hell. So how are you going to make them go to hell? There's no secondary hell. There's no hell to the square power. They're going to hell now, and so you can't mess up. They're going to hell. Share your faith boldly. Share your faith kindly. Love them. It's interesting in this story, which John, when he starts trying to show us that Jesus is the Christ, he starts off and both of these people are talking to somebody they love and care about. One of the most exciting things I ever saw in Peru was as soon as they got saved, they went and got their mother and their uncle and their aunt and their cousin and their neighbor. I visited some of them, their aunts and uncles that were judges and lawyers. I would go in their homes and we'd walk in, and I'd walk in with a young guy out of my church, and he'd just say, I brought my preacher by to tell you what God's done in my life. And I'd start talking to him about Jesus, and I'd tell him about Jesus. And they'd even say, man, this is great. You're helping him. A kid was messed up, but we're not interested. But at least they were telling him. Share it kindly with the people you love. Share it kindly. Share it passionately. Because you know these truths are true. Do you know when you see the guys standing up here, and when you see Trent and Stephanie up here, and you see the tears and you see the excitement and you see the emotion, it's because they've been in the middle of a place where the devil's running the show. They've seen all the people on the way to hell, and they know Jesus is for real. And they know this is not just a church service, and so they're passionate about it. Your family ought to know you're passionate. I don't know if you see any passion in the story, but when Andrew goes against Peter first, I see tons of passion. I see, if it had been me and it's my little brother, I'd have said, I'll tell my little brother tomorrow what a good time I had today. I don't think I'd have wasted I'd have said, there's 10 minutes, 15 minutes I'm going to waste going to get my brother. I can spend it with Jesus. I'd have stayed with Jesus, not Andrew. He was passionate. He wanted his brother. Philip runs and says, Nathanael, you got to come. I know we've been studying about him, and I know you're wanting to see him too. I found him. Let's go see him. Share it passionately. Share your faith confidently, because you know that Jesus will make a difference. You know he will. Share your faith confidently. Come and see. Come and see. Share your faith with those you love, because you really do care about them. Every one of us will soon stand beside the caskets of our family members, our friends, our cousins. Everybody's going to die. I read a quote this week that said, if you're young, you may die. If you're old, you're going to die. True, isn't it? Death is coming. And if I care, I don't want them to go to hell. That lost man died. And no matter how much money he has, and no matter how much power he has, and no matter how much he was reverenced, and no matter how many people loved him, no matter how many people followed every move he made, when he died, none of that mattered. All that mattered was, did you trust Jesus as your Savior? If you care, you'll tell people. If you care, you'll tell people. Look, if you would, at the last thing. Look, if you would, at the last thing. Go to verse 51. The Lord Jesus has more to offer than we can explain, expect, or even believe. The Lord Jesus has more to offer than we can explain, expect, or even believe. Look at verse 51. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, old Nathanael was quick to believe. Jesus said, hey, Nathanael, man without any guile, no deceit in your life. How do you know me? Hey, buddy, when you was under the fig tree, I saw you. Wow, you must be God. Jesus looked at him and said, you believe that quick? Just let me go ahead and tell you, you ain't seen nothing yet. I am God. And you're going to see the angels going up and the angels coming down. You're going to see things you never dreamed of seeing, because it is for real. And I want you to know that you can go tell people about Jesus, and you can go witness to people, and you can know it is for real and it's life changing. And by the way, the person you don't think will get saved can get saved. Get a hold of God and beg God in prayer and share your faith. You don't have to be obnoxious, but share your faith. Look, if you would, Look at, if you would, in verse 51, and he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. He hasn't seen anything yet. The book of John is going to be the full of the mighty power of God at work in their lives. You know, we're starting in John, and old John, the apostle, said, I'm writing this book to show you how big my God is. I'm writing this book to show you who Jesus is. I'm writing this book because by the time I'm finished, you're going to know he really is God, and you're going to believe in him. And Jesus says right there, John has to write it down. John says, I can't get past that one. I remember what he told old Nathaniel. I know what he told Nathaniel. We were sitting around the campfire talking late at night and eating biscuits and fish. And we were sitting there eating it. And Nathaniel told me what Jesus said. He told me, he said, you ain't never seen anything, right? God has big plans. He will use you to win your loved ones to him. He will use you to share the gospel with others. He will use you to get the gospel to other parts of the world. Will you step forward in faith to learn about Jesus? Come and see. Now, finished. Just give you two or three things to take home. Honestly, you know, we're a missionary church, but it's pretty funny if we want to send them overseas and we don't want to talk to our friends. It's pretty funny if we are going to send people and spend money and worry about people on the other side of the world and we're not willing to go tell people, I know Jesus and he changed my life. Come and see. It's pretty bad if we can go to a restaurant and we can have friends and we can have aunts and uncles and cousins and they all know we're the religious freak, we're the Baptists, we tithe. But we never talk to them about Jesus. Maybe you don't know Jesus yet that well. I'm not saying you're not saved. You are saved. But the truth is, most of us have a very nominal knowledge of Jesus. We don't know him well. It's kind of like, you know, and I know you're sitting there thinking, well, I know him real good. It's kind of like, you know, when you're married, and you've been married a week, and you're like, I know my wife like the back of my hand. No, you don't. You just think you do. And then, you know, then here's another guy been married 10 years. He says, man, I really got my wife down. The guy with 20 says, yeah, I thought that too. And the longer you're married, the more you know them. And them old people, I'm not that old yet, but some people in this room are, like Brother Jeff Mize. They can just sit in a room, and they don't even have to think. They don't have to speak. They just know each other. There's something going on. There's a deep knowledge and intimacy among them. You want to know him, you ought to get involved in discipleship. I challenge you. You're in one of the most crazy, wildest churches in the world about getting the gospel of the world, but I'm afraid you couldn't explain baptism. You're in a church. You're in a church that sends missionaries around the world, and this is kind of a unique church. I mean, it's going on here, and I would say to you, can you explain eternal security? Can you explain what goes on in the Lord's Supper? Do you know how to get your prayers answered? Do you know how to pray? Do you know how to read the Bible? Do you know why the church is important? You know what you ought to get? You ought to come, and you ought to say, hey, preacher, I need in, buddy. I want to know it all. I want to know it all. I want to learn. I want people to teach me. I want to share the truth. Will you try to share your faith with your friends and your family? Will you tell them, come and see? Will you ask God to make you hungrier for the faith? I want to know him more. I want to know him more than I've ever known him before. This morning early, this afternoon I was alone, and I begged him, my God, I want to know you. I want to know you like I've never known you. I want to learn more about you. I want to have that relationship with you. Man, I want God to do something in my life. I want to know him. I want to know his tenderness. I want to know his heart. I even want to know his wrath. I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know him. And in our church, tonight, you ought to say, I'm coming and I want to see. I'm coming and I want to know him. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 said this, to know him. He said, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. I want to be conformable to him in his death. I want to know him. I want to know him. He said, I count everything I got in my life as garbage. I want to know him. I want to know Jesus. Do you? Do you? I'm not talking salvation. It didn't end when you got saved. There's a little girl that lives on the same floor of my house as I do. Her name is Chloe. And I've watched her grow up since she got here from Pruitt about 3 months. And I've talked to her, and she wouldn't answer back at all. And then we would kind of do this little high-pitched yell at each other. And now, if the door's cracked to my room, she will shove the door open. And she will come in going, "Hey! Hey!" And I will reach down and pick her up. And she'll look at my big old Georgia mug, and she'll go, "Dog! Dog!" That means I want to drink some of that drink. Sometimes there's stuff all the way down. Do you know what? It's sweeter every day. It's sweeter every day. Do you understand that? I can remember traveling with an old pastor friend a long time ago, and my son Chris was about 3 or 4 years old. And I told him, I said, the sweetest, greatest thing that ever happened to me was being a daddy. I said, it's the most wonderful thing. And he said, just wait. It only gets better. Let me tell you something. You know Jesus, but you don't know him well yet. You're not enjoying all that yet. But if you would, he'd meet with you. He would teach you. You would grow. And it would only be better every day. Father in heaven, I love you. I pray you deal with your people's hearts. I pray you draw them to you. I pray, God, you'd help us have the courage to go out and witness to our family and our friends and tell them about you and other people too. I pray to God that you'd help us to come and say, I'm coming and I want to see. Would you do a work tonight? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, honestly, I believe you ought to come forward and say, God, I need to pray for certain people. There are people I need to get on my heart and I need to be asking for them. And I need boldness, and I need to go running to them and say, I have found him, I do know him, and now I got to tell you about him. I'm challenging you to come and say, I'm going to go and tell. I'm going to go and tell. And when you go and tell, you can say, come and see. But you know, the going, you have to go so you can say, come, go. And then I would say to you, some of us don't know him intimately. We ought to have a sweet relationship with him. And it ought to get sweeter and sweeter every day. It ought to be like, man, I love Jesus. I love his word. I love him. I love his presence. I love the Bible. I love prayer. Boy, God's good to me. I challenge you to let God do a work in your life. And then, maybe you're here tonight and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. And you're not sure if you died, you go to heaven. I want you to know Jesus loves you. And he died on a cross for you to save you. And you tonight can be saved. He has paid the price for your sin. If you'd like to accept him as your personal Lord and Savior tonight, we're ready to help you. If you just hold your hand up and say, somebody show me from the Bible how to know for sure I go to heaven if I die. Somebody show me how to know my sins are forgiven and I'm right with God. If you hold your hand up, I'll help you. Would there be anybody? Father God in heaven, I do love you and praise you and magnify you, and I pray you'd work tonight. God, I pray this would be a turning point in my life and in our lives and in our church, and we'll give you praise for it all. And I pray you'd work tonight. God, I pray this would be a turning point in my life and in our lives and in our church, and we'll give you praise for it all.
Thank you for listening to this message by Austin Gardner, pastor of Vision Baptist Church in Alpharetta, Georgia. For more information on Vision Baptist Church, log on to www.visionbaptist.com. At the website, you can also find more audio and video recordings.